You know what time it is. Episode 422 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. I am back with a masterclass. And on this one, I got Mr. RJ Bates III out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Man is absolutely crushing it. And let me just kind of prep you guys for what you're about to hear. We went Facebook Live when we recorded this. And so again, I've been mentioned the last handful of masterclass. I've been on Facebook Live. Make sure that we are friends. Make sure that you're plugged into the Flip Empire Facebook group and that you're subscribed on YouTube, youtube.com/Alex Pardo. And RJ and I recently got to know each other because he and his partners from Next Level invited me on an expert panel interview about a month or so ago. And that was a lot of fun. And I got to know RJ. We connected offline. He also has a podcast. And you know, I invited him on the show because I've always heard great things about him. And it was really fun to get to know him. He really opened up. He got extremely, extremely raw, real, open, vulnerable, and transparent. All of those combined and then some. And you know, he talked about how he got started in this business roughly about 6 years ago, and he quickly grew. And when I say quickly, I'm talking about within a 4 month period, he went from 5 employees to 74 employees. So that is a massive, massive increase in employees and growth. And he was in scale mode, and he was doing this across multiple markets. But he wasn't really making the money that he, you know, they were closing deals and stuff, but they weren't really making money, and he just wasn't happy. And last year was really tough for him. Last year was rough. And one of the things that he opens up about is that how they had to shift things, and they had to kind of go back to the drawing board and go back to the basics and simplify. And so he walks us through that entire journey. You know, we talk about his current team and his setup and how he's just having more fun now. He's got very clearly defined goals, and they know exactly what they have to go after. So this was a really fun interview. We talked some faith as well. So if that's something that maybe turns you off, maybe this isn't the episode for you. But there's a lot of great content, and I encourage you to plug in and actively listen. RJ, what is up, my friend?
How you doing, man?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You and I were just talking. It's interesting. Obviously, interesting times. You know, we're talking about how the family's going a little stir crazy, but we roll with the punches, brother. We adapt, right?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on, man. I know these are crazy times. We're all super overwhelmed, and you know, you and I were just talking about it. We're working more hours now than we were before all this broke out. So thanks for taking the time to create, you know, regular great content for everybody.
Yeah. And same with you, man. I know you got a great podcast, and we'll let people know about that. So I love connecting with guys like you. So admittedly, we don't have that much of a relationship yet. We recently met, but we travel in the same circles. I've always heard good things about you. I love the content you're putting out. And so I'm always looking to connect with just people that have the right mindset and that are out there leading, wanting to help others. I'm attracted to people like that. So that's the reason I reached out to you. And obviously you had me on your Next Level call, and I was grateful for that. So it's awesome to, it's so I'm so grateful for technology and the fact that we can hop on here and we can use our voice to help people and share what's working. And you got a super successful business, and you know, you've had ups and downs like I have and like we all have. So I'm excited to get into it and you know, and help people.
For sure, man. And I just want to give you kudos real quick, because you were on a couple of our next level calls. You probably gave the golden nugget that I have repeated the most out of all of our panelists. When you talked about going back and making offers on all of the previously denied offers, and you were sending out offers through direct mail, that's something that we're doing in our office. So, hey, you made change for us. And I think I've probably repeated that on every single one of those calls since then. That I was like, hey, Alex Pardo said this.
There you go, man.
So thank you so much for sharing that with everybody.
Good, man. You know what's so crazy about that? Before we get into the live and into the interview here, brother, when I hear stuff like that, it gives me more fulfillment than sometimes when we even close a deal. And I realize that might sound crazy, but like, I don't know, man. That's cool to hear. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah, man. Yeah. So for people that don't know who you are, give us a little bit of background. We'll spend a couple of minutes on that. You were just telling me offline that at one point you had 75 employees, which is, by my standards, that's a pretty damn big business. And what we're really going to focus the content on today is the importance of getting lean, you know, having a lean machine that's low overhead, high margins. And so why don't we kind of start from the beginning? How'd you even get into this game? And then we'll get into your story.
Yeah. So real quick on the 74 employees, that was a stupid business. That's what that was. So, and I'll get into why that's the case, but, okay. I'm RJ Bates the third. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. I've lived in Fort Worth, Texas my whole life. My partner's Cassie DeHaas. We were really good friends, best friends. We've been that way for about 14, 15 years at this point in time. And, you know, we were, you know, young, dumb and stupid. And one day she said, hey, you know, we're not living the life that we're supposed to be living. Why don't we start a business together? And that's literally how this all started. You know, we came up with some crazy ideas before we even knew, but it was that she just sparked that entrepreneurial spirit in me. And, you know, our first business was a consulting firm for general contractors. We were helping them with their insurance claims and just getting them money and taking a spread off of what we got them from the insurance company.
Okay.
That led to us becoming contractors and remodeling houses. And then that got us to working for investors that were flipping houses, you know, and I'm walking into these houses, I'm doing all this work and I'm not making a whole lot of money. And I see them making a ton of money at the end of it. And I started asking them like, hey, how are you getting these houses? And majority of the time it was, oh, I picked it up from this guy. He's a wholesaler. And he just emails me all these properties and I just pick and choose which ones I want. And I remember one day we were at one of the flips we were working on and it just kind of dawned on me. I'm like, so he's finding a house from the seller and then selling it to this guy. He's the middleman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm a general contractor. I have the homeowner who wants me to fix the house. And then I've got subcontractors. I'm the middleman. Like there's not that much difference between being a general contractor and being a wholesaler, minus the fact that if I'm a wholesaler, I don't have to go to Home Depot 27 times a day. So started looking into that. You know, we went through the education courses, the free seminars, and then, you know, we ended up spending $60,000 in education. You know, I hear a lot of people talk poorly about these, you know, large education companies, and mm-hmm. and it's rightfully so. Like, hey, I wasn't taught what I was promised, but I was taught enough to become dangerous. And so we started doing deals, and this is in 2014. So we started our first company in 2012.
All right.
And 2012 was a transition year for us. So my niece was diagnosed with leukemia the summer. Cassie and I started our first company in August. My dad passed away in September, and my son Trinity was born in October on my birthday. And so 2012 was the year that I don't remember RJ Bates before 2012. Like I'm a whole different person at this point in time. And, you know, in 2014, that's when we started wholesaling deals. We did a handful of them. I've told the story so many times, but we got a property under contract and we had to put $1,000 earnest money down and $100 option check. Here in Texas, we have options, not inspections. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay for them. And so $1,100. And when we deposited the $1,100, it left us with $11 in our bank account. And that's not just the company. That was personal accounts, business account. We had to live and eat off of that. We found ways to do it. And we made $11,000. I know that's really weird. $1,100, $11, and $11,000. But it worked out that way, man. And we never looked back. So January 1 of 2015, Cassie and I were working on New Year's Day out of her apartment. And I looked at her and I said, hey, we're shutting down the contracting company. We're going to go all in on real estate investing. And 2015, we ended up doing like $750,000 in assignment fees.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we never looked back from there. You know, 2016, I think we increased that to like 1.2, somewhere around there, and it just continued to grow. And then in 2017, we went to our first mastermind, Don Costas in Fresno, California. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got connected with some private money lenders. I had a gentleman there that told me, hey, you know, you could be the best rock star wholesaler of all time, but it's about creating generational wealth. And in order to do that, you have to have some assets. Like, you can't just wholesale your way to generational wealth. So we started picking up rentals. We started doing a lot more flips. Up until this point, we had done probably 10 flips, something like that. And 2018, 2019, man, we just started buying everything. We really stopped wholesaling. Unless it was just absolutely necessary.
Okay.
We worked ourselves up to, well, those 74 employees across multiple different states. We owned a rental portfolio of 68 or 67 properties in St. Louis, Missouri.
And that was all within a couple of years, max?
Yeah, we partnered up with some people and we bought an entire portfolio in St. Louis. We ended up owning another 12 or 15 units in Alaska, another 10 or 12 units in Hawaii. I mean, it got insane. I mean, we were just all over the place. And, you know, what I realized was, hey, we were making a lot more money when we were lean and we were really laser focused on one niche. And once we started getting, you know, very spread out and everybody was focused on different things, we weren't really making a whole lot of money. In fact, we were losing money. And thankfully, we had surrounded ourselves with the right people that supported us through those tough times. Okay. To be honest with you, my visionary brain basically almost killed our company. Right. And just drove us in the ground. We were way over leveraged, not only with properties and mortgages and things like that, but also just we didn't have the bandwidth and the systems and processes in place to handle the team that we had in place. Right. So, going into 2019 was really that realization. We allowed people to kind of walk themselves out the door. A lot of them, you know, weren't carrying their own weight. They weren't making good money. And so we just had a lot of heart-to-heart conversations with them. Hey, is this not working out for you? It's not working out for me. And we kind of went our separate ways.
Right.
We had a significant amount of employees in Hawaii because what we did was we basically hired our own crews. So we had majority of those employees were contractors in Hawaii and it was just not working out. The projects weren't getting done. We were going significantly over budget. So we moved in a different direction. We hired GCs out there. We got our projects back on track. And going into 2020, after doing, you know, several hundred deals a year for the past couple of years, our goals really simplified down to we want to do one wholesale deal a week in Texas and then one flip a month in Texas, Hawaii, and Alaska. That's our goals. We want to get down to that. And we've done a pretty good job of staying on track.
Yeah.
You know, minus what's been going on with COVID-19. So that's kind of our story in a nutshell right there.
I love it. And there's so much to unpack and there's so many different directions I want to take this interview. Let me kind of backtrack to the beginning. It really resonated with me that the whole $11, you know, you put this $1,100 deposit and I want to kind of take a few steps back and talk about that. Was that your defining moment? Was that the proverbial fork in the road for you and Cassie that you had the $11 and it was like now or never? I'm trying to like really dive into your mindset at that point. Were you?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking that because nobody's really asked me about that moment. It's kind of always been like, oh, that's a really cool story, and we've moved on from it. So let me talk about the conversation that I had to have, right? I mean, the conversation is that Cassie at this time is running our contracting company. She doesn't know anything about wholesaling except for the little training courses that we went to. But the plan was, I'm going to dive into wholesaling and learn how to do this. Mm-hmm. And Cassie's going to continue to run the contracting company. So I'm coming to her and I'm saying, essentially, we're going to put every last dollar that we have into this. And her question to me is what if you don't sell it? And I'm like, well, we'll get our $1,000 earnest money back, but the opportunity for us to make $10,000-$11,000 on this is an opportunity that's not out there for us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to trust me. And so this is, the defining moment was the fact that I put myself out there and said, you need to trust me. And she chose to do that. Amazing. And when she chose to do that and we went all in and it worked, I mean, we had already been partners for like almost 3 years, but we had never had that moment where it was like our backs are so up against the wall that this is the all in moment. True. And if this doesn't work out, we're going to have to revert back to getting a job or starting over, because we were already, I mean, credit cards were maxed out. I mean, there was no option for us. Yeah. Like we had to do this.
You had to make it happen.
Right. And so, yes, that was very much the defining moment, not only for us as individuals and as a company, but for our relationship and our trust with each other.
So speak to the person that's listening to this, whether they're listening to this live or they're listening to this at some point in the future. There are a lot of people out there that are just scared, man. They're living mm-hmm. in fear. And look, I get it. This is, they're going to make a movie about this pretty soon. This is going to go down in history books. I mean, this has affected the entire world. And there's people out there that are woke up this morning and they're not sure how they're going to pay bills. And they want to make this work and they're educating themselves by virtue of being on here, and they're plugging into different resources and they're hungry. They want to make it happen. But there's this fear that is maybe stopping them, right? Like you were in that moment. I mean, to have 11 bucks in your bank account and that basically makes up all the money you have. I mean, that's a scary moment to be in. And to your point, and to use your words, your backs were up against the wall. And I think that's the moment that some people sink and some people swim. You guys obviously swam. What's the message you have for people that might be in a similar situation? Maybe it's even worse than that financially, or maybe it's getting to that point. What's the message so that they can overcome this fear and break through? Because I know there's a lot of people that want to succeed, but they're just having a hard time getting over that hump.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, don't allow that fear to give you paralysis. Like, you have to go out and take action. And that's the one like thing that I see out of people that are in a position where their backs are up against the wall. It's the ones that fail are the ones that sit here and kind of feel sorry for themselves. And they're so worried that they're going to fail that they just basically don't do anything other than say, I'm about to fail.
Yeah.
And then there's the other ones that come out like the raging beast, where their arms are swinging, their legs are swinging. And it's like, I refuse to fail. I'm going to go out and I'm going to find a way to make this happen.
Right.
And look, if you're in that position right now, you have to understand that there is plenty of opportunity out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is, and there's people that need to be helped. And if you have some way of helping somebody, go out and do it. And at the end of the day, look, man, there are so many different ways that you can survive in the meantime to just push through whatever difficulties you're going through. And maybe it's not today, I'm going to wholesale a property. Maybe it's, you know, Jesse Burrell from Batch Skip Tracing had an amazing comment. Brent Daniels asked the question, if you only had $2,000 today, what would you do if you're a wholesaler? And Jesse Burrell said, I would not spend $1 on that on marketing or anything. I would keep all $2,000 of that and I would live off of it. What I would do is I would go out to every experienced wholesaler in my market and I would say, I want to call all of your dead leads. and I want to work those for you. All of the ones that you've forgotten about, you're not going to do anything with, and I will work my ass off to try to generate something. And what can you offer me as a split on that? I thought that was a brilliant idea. It was such a brilliant idea that, mind you, when I go back to our goals, I didn't say anything about Arizona, right? Because Arizona is a very slow market for us, and we've struggled there. So what I went to Jesse was, is I said, hey, do you have any dead leads for us? We're the new wholesaler in Phoenix, Arizona. Guess what RJ's going to be doing this weekend? I'm going to spend some time with the kids, but I'm also going to spend about 8 hours hitting dead leads in Phoenix, Arizona, so we can get that branch up and running, because we're the new wholesaler there.
I love it.
So though we're at a place where we're much past the pain of being new and struggling and all that, I still struggle in different areas. And yeah, Arizona is one of those areas where I feel struggle. Jeremy Demers is my partner in Arizona. He's been with me for 5 years, and we're still struggling there. I haven't hit a stride in that market. So I have to insert myself and realize that 2020 RJ in Phoenix is the 2015 RJ here in Texas. And yeah, so I have to feel that struggle that we have no money, because we don't have any money in that branch.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I mentioned this to you before we went live here, that I really appreciate people that open up and are just very vulnerable about what's going on. And look, honestly, this year didn't get off to the start that we expected it to in our wholesaling business. And right, I had to roll up my sleeves and jump in. And sometimes, as the visionary, as the leader, you got to do that. You got to jump in. It's okay to fail, but what are you learning in the process? Right. And what type of person are you becoming in the process? So I appreciate you sharing that. That's so important, because in this age of social media, which is amazing, you see 95%, 98% success and glitz and glamour and you know, people kind of beating their chest. And that's great. That's inspiring to a lot of people. But I think we need to be more real about what some of the real challenges are. And I think the one thing that COVID-19 has done to our community is that it's brought us together. There's no shortage of these interviews. And so now's a great time to plug in, but make sure your mind is right. Make sure that you're surrounding yourself with the right people, the right information, because that's the one thing nobody can take away from you that you have control over.
Let me tell you something about that real quick, because you brought up about, you know, a lot of times during interviews like this, there's a lot about the success, right? Mm-hmm. So yesterday we closed a deal in Hawaii. It was a flip. We received a check for $596,000. Okay. It's made out to my company. I could go post that check on social media and be like, and, you know, pound my chest. Okay. Now, what's nobody understands is, well, most people would make assumptions, but I owe my private money lender $596,000 on that. So I have a check that I could post and talk about the success. Look what we're doing. But yeah, the reality of it is that is a break-even deal. I owe every last penny of that to my private money lender. So when we picked up the check, it immediately went right back out to him.
Yeah.
That it realize that when you're looking at things on social media, that there's a lot more underneath of what keeps these companies running. And I'm not saying there's not successful yeah, people out there. There are.
Yeah.
But just take it with a grain of salt, and comparison is the thief of joy. Okay.
Great.
Don't compare yourself to other people because you see somebody posting a big check or because you think that they're living such a better life than you. No, just continue going down your path and stay focused on your journey and don't worry about what other people are doing. Take what they're doing, learn from them. That's fine. But just don't compare yourself to them.
That's right. And you know what's sad about that is sometimes people will make decisions about their life and or business based on what they see, and they don't even have 95% of the picture. They only see like what's on the periphery, right? So I appreciate you sharing that, man. I definitely want to ask you about 2019, because you were open and you were like, hey, man, we had to make some changes this year. We had to get leaner because 2019, like, we were met with a lot of friction and a lot of challenges. So I definitely want to get into that. But I want to figure out, like, was the mindset, you know, once you guys broke through that hurdle and you started making some money, I mean, you quickly grew. You acquired a portfolio. You grew to 74 employees, which is, again, by my standard, that's a lot. That's a big business. The mindset was it just growth and scale and bigger is better? And you grew so fast that then like you just realized like, hey, this isn't what I want. This isn't what it's cracked up to be. We're doing a lot of deals, but are we really making money? Was that what you ended up realizing at some point last year?
Well, let's go back to that quote, comparison is the thief of joy, right? So I'm not intelligent enough to come up with these kind of quotes. I just live them and then I realize it. So I was the guy that was comparing myself to everybody, right? Okay. And I'm like, you know, I say, well, I have a podcast, right? And so I interview a guy and he's like, you know, I sold 150 deals last year, you know? And so I'm like, we got to sell 151. And then I get the next guy on, he did 200. So then I got to do 201. I'm always trying to one up everybody that I'm hearing, right? I'm a naturally competitive person. So yeah, when we got to 2019, there were several things that, well, look, everything that could go wrong in 2019 basically went wrong. I mean, it started off with a failed partnership here in Texas. You know, Jamie Woolley and Cassie and I were going to combine companies. Jamie had some personal issues that kind of prohibited that partnership from happening. And look, Jamie has no problem with me talking about this because it's, you know, Jamie and I love each other and we're partners in Next Level Flipping now. So, but that hurt right off the bat. We had failed partnerships in other markets that we were trying to get off the ground, like Alabama, Ohio, Alaska. We had boots on the ground in those markets where those partnerships didn't work out. And a lot of that was due to, you know, I could put the blame on them, but look, I read the book Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And it's one of my favorite books of all time. Because basically what it does is it makes you realize that, hey, anything that goes wrong, you need to turn around and look at yourself first before you blame it on somebody else. Yeah. And so I looked at those partnerships in 2019 for a long time and I was like, it was that person's fault. And guess what? That didn't solve the problem. What I realized was, is no, it was RJ and Cassie's fault. We didn't equip these people with the tools, the systems and processes and the training for them to be successful. That's the reason why they weren't successful. We had several big deals not go down. Time, hours, weeks, months wasted on portfolio deals, apartment complex deals. We were just trying to go bigger and without really having some of the knowledge to do that. Like I've never tried to buy a 89 unit apartment complex. I had bought a 10 unit apartment complex. So I went from 10 units to 89 units. Well, that's a whole different world. And we ended up in a situation with the wrong lender, and the lender ended up making us lose the deal because they didn't close on time. And we lost a significant amount of earnest money, and having those kind of pains and those tribulations over and over and over again, through 2019 was just a beatdown. You know, and it finally got to the point where I remember one day I'm literally surrounded. My whole office is surrounded by whiteboards with properties written on them that we own that we're trying to do something with. And I remember looking at the entire whiteboard going down and I'm like, okay, I want to pick the one that I can do something with today to move us in the right direction. And going through the whole list, it was like, there's not one property on here that I can pick today and make something happen with. This is a really bad position to be in. And just having to have that heart-to-heart conversation with Cassie and my partner in Hawaii, Elijah De La Garza. He's my best friend since, you know, fifth grade. He's the reason why we're in Hawaii, and I love him so much because having just those in-depth conversations with him and then having to go to our private money lenders and saying, hey, we failed you. Like, hey, we messed up. This is on us. We're going to make this right, though. So allow us to do that. And look, we're still in the midst of that. I mean, you know, like I'm talking about, you know, we closed that deal for, you know, $600,000 yesterday in Hawaii and paying him back. I mean, there's a lot of private money lenders that would not have been okay with that, you know? And it's just, look, we grew at such a rapid rate that if you're at the place right now where you're hearing these sexy words from people about scaling and growing your business, make sure that you do it in a organic fashion and yes. that you understand what you're getting yourself into. Every move has a repercussion to it. It's either going to be a positive or it's going to be a negative.
Preach.
And that's what I didn't understand was I was making moves that could have a negative repercussion on me. And every time I did that, it was, if it was a negative repercussion, the impact that that had on my ability to do anything positive. And what I ended up was, I mean, literally there would be days where I would do nothing but sit on the phone and talk to people about issues. And I'm like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing for this company. Like this is not my calling right here to sit on the phone for 10 hours and just deal with issues.
You're a firefighter.
Like, yeah. My whole team doesn't even know what I did today because all I was doing is forgetting about them and dealing with other issues that I created, RJ created. And so I failed my team and I was the one that had to go back and have all of those very uncomfortable conversations. And now looking where we are today, I always ask people that, you know, made it through or either failed back in 2008, 2009, Don Costas, the Manny and Beto's, the people that I knew. And I would say, hey, you know, what would you do differently? And they all told me, hey, you need to be liquid as possible and you need to be able to adjust and pay attention. Don't be so arrogant. And so in 2019, I realized I was like, here I am. I'm arrogant. We're a big cruise ship. We can't pivot. We're headed right for the iceberg. We're actually probably teetering on the iceberg. And that's when we leaned out, man. And that's when we got down to, hey, we're going to really simplify these goals. When were we actually making money? Okay, we were making money when we were wholesaling one deal a week. All right, that's when we were making money. That's when everybody started to find out who RJ and Cassie was and what Titanium was.
Right.
And so that's what we wanted to go back to. And, you know, hey, I wouldn't change it because I learned a lot. And I still have very high aspirations for where we're going to take Titanium and what we're going to do. It's just how we're going to do it differently in the future.
Dude, you dropped so many nuggets and so many learning lessons that I'm hoping people like grip onto. A couple of things that immediately come to mind. I love what you said about taking extreme ownership. You know, you talked about Jocko's book, taking responsibility. You got to look yourself in the mirror because here's what happens, RJ, and I know you're going to agree with this. When you place blame on others, you essentially paralyze your growth. That's what you do. You're not allowing yourself to grow and look past it because it's too easy to shift the blame and that's it. It just stops there.
Right.
When you look internal, whether it was your fault or not, there's always something you could have done different. And so you have to ask yourself and kind of change the question in your mind to, okay, well, where's the blessing in this? Or what am I meant to learn? Or how can I grow past this experience? By the way, guys, I did a poor job of saying this at the top of the show. We're going to open this thing up for Q&A. In about 10, 15 minutes. So any questions you guys have, I appreciate the likes and the shares and the love and all that. Any questions you guys have for RJ or for myself, please type them in. We want to make this interactive. So whatever you guys want to know, we're here to answer questions. But yeah, that's the first thing is always taking ownership and responsibility. And I think the second thing is I put up a quote there by a good friend of mine, Christina Krause. I'm not sure if you're connected with her.
Yep.
But she said something about a year and a half ago that really stuck with me. She said, Alex, scale to be better. Don't scale to be bigger.
Yep.
Bigger isn't always better. And this goes back to, you know, on social media, look at everybody's team and their office and all that. The people that I know now that are most stressed are the ones that have high overhead, a lot of employees, an office. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but do it for the right reasons and do it responsibly.
Right.
You can get burned growing too big. And I think, you know, you're basically attesting to that, hey, we grew too big. And I realized that this isn't really what I wanted for myself and for my business.
Yeah. And the thing about it is I don't want people to think that, hey, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have a big company. It was, I wasn't prepared. And I went from, you know, 5 employees to 75 employees in like 4 months. I mean, this was like rapid. And to be honest with you, I know this sounds insane, but it was like, I didn't even realize it. I didn't even realize it until 1 week I went back and I reconciled and I was like, okay, we paid everybody in Hawaii, Alaska, Arizona, Texas, all these different states, right? and our weekly payroll was like $120,000 or something like that. And I didn't even pay myself.
Wow.
And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what, this makes no sense. No wonder all of our people love us. I mean, yeah, I'd be loving me too. I mean, they're not producing, they're not getting the job done.
Yeah.
We're not making money, and we're paying them everything that we have. And, so yeah, I mean, I don't want to scare people where I'm saying, hey, you shouldn't have a big company, because I plan on getting back to that point at some point in time. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be 10 years from now, and maybe it'll be 20 years from now. I don't know. I know right now where I wanted to be in 2020 is right where we are, which is we liquidated almost, we are liquidating every asset that we have, because I want to be as liquid as possible. I wanted that before COVID-19.
Yeah.
We're down to the point where really the only asset that I want to own are the notes that we've created on owner financing. Okay. Every flip's going to go away. Every rental's going to go away, except minus the first house I ever lived in. I'm going to keep that one forever.
Oh, so you own that as a rental?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, that is so cool, man.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep that one forever, but everything else is going to go. And look, we are at a position right now that we were very well prepared for what just happened. And I thought that there was going to be a correction. I thought there was going to be a slowdown, because we started seeing that here in Dallas. We started seeing a correction in the market a little bit. Uh-huh. No one could have anticipated what we're going through, though. But we were prepared for it. I mean, I'm looking at this. I'm like, we literally got rid of our office. And because I told Cassie, I said, look, hey, I want to own an office. Like, either we'll go build one or we'll own it. I don't want to pay people rent. We don't pay rent. We collect rent. Okay. And so we were working out of Cassie's house. Well, now all this happens, we're still working out of Cassie's house. It's a sub 2 that we took down. Yeah. And here we are, we were already doing this. Why? Because we're such a lean team. There's only 5 of us here in Texas. So now at this point in time, we can tell everybody just work from home or virtually. Mm-hmm. We were already doing this.
Yeah.
So we were prepared. And this is what the vision was for me was, dude, if this had happened in 2019, I'm telling you right now, we would have been one of those people 7 days into it, shut down, we're done. I would have been, you know, looking for work.
Right.
But now, because this happened, I'm not even nervous. I'm not even scared. I'm like, hey, look, we're just going to continue down the path that we're going. We don't have to have a ton of lead generation. We just got to get that one deal. We can get that one deal this week, we're good. And then we complete the one flip this month. And so we continue to do that. We had 2 closings this week. We had 3 closings this week. We had a flip sale in Hawaii. So that's our flip for this month. And then we had 2 wholesales that closed in Texas. So now we focus on what's going to come up the next couple of weeks. And we just keep going down that path.
You know what I hear, RJ, listening to you speak? I hear confidence. And I think that confidence comes from you guys there's clarity around the vision.
Yep.
You know exactly what your goals are, and you're methodically going about the business, COVID-19 or otherwise, of doing what you guys got to do. And you've strategically shrunk your team. You've reduced your overhead, and I think in turn there's less stress. And you guys have clearly defined goals, and you're going about the business of just doing what you guys got to do. By the way, that's not to say that you guys aren't going to be faced with challenges in the future, because you are. That's business. Right. Right. It's not all peaches, rainbows, and unicorns. Like, we're going to have issues, but it's understanding that you're going to get past that, and you're going to learn something, right?
But whose job is it to have the clearly defined vision? It's mine, right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Extreme ownership. Like, it was my fault that we ended up in 2019. What was my vision? We're just going to hire the entire world. We're going to buy every property. I mean, that was my fault. That was my arrogance and just, hey, comparing myself to other people, seeing other people on Instagram, their Facebook posts, their Facebook groups, their podcast, everything. I wanted to be better than everybody, right? And now I'm sitting here going, okay, we weren't good at anything, but I do know what we can be great at. It's what we got started in, what got us to this point, what allowed us to survive through what bad decisions I made in 2019. So let's go back to that. And you're absolutely right when you say there's a lot of confidence coming from that, because I'm seeing it work. I see the confidence that Cassie has because of this. She now understands the vision that I cast. So we did a predictive index test. If you've never done it, you need to do it.
Yep.
So what I came up, I'm a venturer, okay, which means I'm a high visionary. I did it with Gary Harper. He literally told me my visionary is off the charts. Like, it doesn't even score. It won't even go that far. And what a venturer needs is a captain. That's what Cassie is. She is a high-level captain. So I'm the big ship, and she's the captain steering the wheel, right? And so when he told me that, it basically made me realize that, well, no wonder Cassie's not effective, because I haven't told her the vision. And he literally told me, Gary Harper, one of the smartest men I've met.
Gary's the man.
He said, look, RJ, you don't need to share your vision with anybody else. Just tell it to Cassie and then let her run with it. And he said, because if you tell other people, he said, they're probably not going to get it. And mentally, it will shut me down. And I think that's part of what happened in 2018 and 2019, is that when I started casting visions out and it started mentally impacting me, all I did was try to copy other people.
Yeah,
I want to go be Carlos Reyes. I want to go be Don Costa. I want to be Tim Bratz. And then all of a sudden I realized we're just failing. Once I cast a very simple vision to Cassie, next thing I know, she's running with it. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's our systems. Here's our processes. Fulfilling what she's supposed to do, the role for this company, the role for me as my partner, as the integrator, what she's supposed to do. So, yeah, there is a lot of confidence in that. And I agree. Look, man, there are going to be issues. But I welcome those issues because I think we're prepared to overcome them at this point.
And because of your past and because of your experiences, you're built for it, bro.
Right.
You're built for it. You know that there's nothing you can't be faced with that you can't get past. And here's the thing. What comes to mind as well for me, guys, is that, you know, we've all heard the quote, and I'm like RJ. I'm not smart enough to come up with some of these awesome quotes, right? But success leaves clues. Whoever said that was 100% spot on. So, you know, you're on here listening to this live, watching this live, because, you know, you want to learn and you want to, I truly believe we can always learn something from anyone. You can always pick up something from anyone. And so hopefully you guys are picking some stuff up here, but you don't have to walk the same path that RJ walked. You don't have to walk the same path I walked. Yeah, success leaves clues. And so you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you're on your own unique journey. So don't try to duplicate somebody else's success following their formula, because there's too many variables. There's too many, they might have a different skill set. I mean, there's just so many things that I think if you're trying to replicate somebody's success, like you were saying, you wanted to be Tim Bratz, or not be Tim Bratz, but you wanted to kind of follow that path and Don Costa, it doesn't work. It's like trying to fit a square into a circle. You might jam it in there, but it's just, it's not effortless, dude. It just doesn't work like that. So a good friend of mine, Haim, I don't know if you know Haim, I'll connect, awesome guy, stay in your own lane. And Haim is a perfect example of that, you know, lifestyle guy, you know, no employees and extremely profitable business. There's different shapes and sizes to this. Success leaves clues, but it's not all in one box. So figure out, like Haim is saying, figure out, stay in your own lane. And I think part of the way you can do that is by getting clear. I don't know what your spiritual beliefs are, but for me, it's God. Get clear on your God-given abilities and talents. You know, go about the business methodically of figuring out what are your assets, what are your strengths, and then play in that sandbox, I guess is how I would summarize that. So,
well, and I'll go ahead and say something that might be semi-controversial for people, but I'm glad you brought it up. You know, that was another thing that was very important to us, is that, you know, myself, Cassie, and Elijah, we're very strong believers, and getting back to listening to what our path is, what our calling is, what God wants us to do, what are we doing this for? And, you know, he wasn't number one in our lives. And, getting back to making that the case, you know, we had issues with not only our business, but in our personal lives as well. Elijah went through some of the most awful personal issues I've ever seen somebody have to go through with his family and through a divorce. And, you know, that impacts people. And the way he got through that was getting back to God and talking to God. And, you know, you don't have to believe in that, but we do. And, yeah. And you know, we sit here and we know the impact that it's had on all of us. And I know, you know, when you talk about that confidence, it's a whole nother level when you've got, when you have a solid relationship with God. And, oh, yeah. And you're able to have those conversations, and actually feel the results of those conversations and know yeah. what you're supposed to do. There's nothing more impactful than that. You know, God bless all these other examples that I've used on this interview, as far as, you know, what has allowed us to survive and get to this point. But without having that relationship with God and having, you know, God-fearing partners that we're all on the same page and we understand. I mean, I don't know many companies that can literally sit there and have a, you know, a three-way conversation where we are all on the phone from Hawaii all the way to Texas, and our business meeting is we literally pray. And I'm not saying that's every time, but what things were when we needed it, when we needed that guidance. And look, here's the thing about that is it's not just when you need the guidance. It's all the time, even when that's things right. are good. Glory to God. You know, I yep. mean, that's literally the text message I have on my phone right here. Tech, you know, here's the check, $596,000. Glory to God. Thank you, God. You allowed us to get to that point. And so, hey, I hope that resonated with some people. I know some people out there aren't believers. And it is what it is. Yep. But that's who I was raised. And I know that, you know, my relationship with God has, allowed me to get to this point.
That's right. And somebody, unfortunately, we don't know who you are. I'll have to go on my phone after this interview and I'll comment on this, but that's the secret ingredient. And again, guys, we're not here to, you know, to kind of shove our spiritual beliefs and all that, but this is our faith, and this is what we believe in. And you know, I have you probably can't see this, but on my phone I have probably about 6 alarms that go off throughout the day. And the reason I have that, and sometimes I admittedly I forget to just put them on, but just messages of inspiration. And one of them is God has you in His favor. Raise your identity and your standards. Your family wants you. This is your why. Like, just different. And I kind of rotate them. And every now and then I'm going through kind of a rough spot, you know, or sometimes just my mind might not throughout the day. I'm putting out fires. I know you've been there. Mm-hmm. And I'll have one of these alarms that go off and I see the message, and it's a reminder that, like, it's not always going to be like this climb. You know, like you're going to have to, it's that drawing or that saying that, you know, the pilot is off course 98% of the time, but he's going to get to that destination 99.999% right. of the times. You know what I mean? So that's life. Life isn't a line from A to it's this, like, that's life, man. And we got to embrace it.
One thing that I've come to grips with is I rarely ask God to help with specific things in my life. I ask Him for guidance and understanding of the path that He has me on, because what I've realized is a lot of times I want things to happen on my time frame and then later on they happen on His time frame, and I realize it was to impact somebody else's time frame.
Yeah,
like it's what they needed, you know, not what I needed. And I that's what has made me feel so comfortable with some of the issues that we've gone through. And just knowing that, that we're going to be okay. Annie, I love you. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. And I'm friends with Evo. I haven't had the opportunity and the pleasure to really meet Annie, but I've heard great things, but yeah, man, look, this is going to resonate with a lot of people, and there's some people where it's not going to resonate with, and that's fine. It is what it is. You know, this interview, man, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a little bit different than what you usually talk about. Cause to me, the X's and O's, not that it's easy, but like you can get that stuff anywhere. Right. And yeah, that's part of what we've covered on the show, but like, just your belief system, your mindset, your faith, at the end of the day, that's what you have to lean on, you know. Yep. the importance of your inner circle. I know, obviously, you know, you run a mastermind too with a couple of friends of mine. I run a mastermind. We all have been impacted and we understand the value and the importance, especially, and we'll start to kind of transition the show here. And then guys, if you have any questions you guys have at all, put it in. There's been a lot of love that people have been sending in the comments. So thank you for that. Really greatly appreciate it. But kind of the last talking point here is the impact that relationships, community, masterminds, whatever shape or size that looks like for you. Quickly talk about what that's done for you, because I'm sure you'll agree with me. I could not imagine not being plugged into the right community during this time. You know, people that just have that mindset we're talking about and that are pushing forward. So in maybe a minute or two, just kind of talk about what communities, masterminds, that kind of thing has done for you and your business.
Yeah. So real quick, I mean, a mastermind, it's real simple for me to share the importance of it. Every single private money dollar that I've ever gotten has come from a mastermind, except for my old high school football coach. He's the only private money lender I've ever gotten outside of a mastermind. And just the community that we have going on right now. I mean, these are unprecedented times and nobody has the answers, right?
Right.
But to have somebody that you have a relationship with, that you could pick the phone up and say, hey, Alex, how are you dealing with this right now? What are you seeing in your marketplace? How are you communicating with your team? Like, I know everybody thinks that because you're a CEO or you're a business owner that you immediately are supposed to have all the answers, but we don't, right?
Not at all. Yeah.
So it's a great feeling. Like today, I just had like an hour-long conversation this morning with Jesse Burrell, and literally all we were talking about was, you know, what are you seeing? What's your deal flow like? What's your conversations with your acquisitions people and your dispo people? And how are you dispoing properties? Why? Because we're in a mastermind together and we have that relationship. So then we just communicate on a regular basis, just checking in on each other. And there's nothing that feels better than that. I mean, I used to wake up every day and get in the car and I love listening to music. Now every morning I get in my car and I'm like, who am I going to call to have a conversation with? Because that means more to me than rocking out for, you know, 15 minutes. And that's what these masterminds, these communities can do for you, is just connect you to people that are like-minded. And look, like you said, you run a mastermind, I run a mastermind. I don't think that there's one is better than the other. It's just what's a good fit for you.
Sure. 100%.
And who do you resonate with more, you know?
That's right.
And a lot of times it's, hey, I like both Alex and RJ, so I'll do both.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to Don Costa the other day. He's like, I'm in four masterminds. Why? Because he gets benefit out of each one of them and the community and the family that comes along with that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And it's an accelerator to your success. You know, my last point on that is it's all about the relationships. That to me is priceless. You can take away anything. You could take away any money I've amassed or what. You could take all that stuff away. If I have the relationships and I have the knowledge and I have the right mindset, you're good to go, man. You just got to put in the work from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? So masterminds have changed the course of my life.
Yeah.
There's nothing else I could say about that.
By the way, I'm in two, not counting the one I run with Steve, not counting Ascend. So I'm living proof as well. And I know you are. So yeah, man, dude, this has been a lot of fun, man. I really appreciate it. Somebody commented, boss, this is, I don't know about that for me, but appreciate the love. So any questions you guys have, we'll show them on the screen here. It looks like Bruce, I commend you for realizing that you needed to lean down to save your business. Some people have egos that blind you to what has to be done. It's like survivor or drown, I also believe. So, yeah, thank you, Bruce. Thank you for sharing that. Annie showed you some love. There's a bunch of people. Kia, shout out to Kia for always participating in these. Really appreciate you. So, a lot of love here. So, really love appreciate it. Let me see. I think I did see somebody commented Deal Machine. Not sure. Joshua, if you're still watching this, did somebody say Deal Machine? Not sure what he means by that, but yeah, man. So RJ, in the meantime, just in case any questions do come in, what how do people connect with you?
Yeah, man. So Facebook, RJ Bates III. That's my preferred place. Or you can go to Instagram, RJ Bates III. But yeah, check out Next Level Flipping, nextlevelflipping.com. You know, we're an online mastermind. Love to have you in there. Alex is a part of the family. You know, we have a great group of people. And just now more so than ever, it's important to surround yourselves that, you know, just can be a community and a family and just be there to help you with what we're all dealing with. And just stay safe out there. You know, listen to your local officials. I know there's a lot of people out there that are kind of back and forth on this whole pandemic issue, but stay safe out there, guys, and just pay attention to what's best for your business and for your family.
You get the last word, man. I got nothing else to add. We're good to go. This was a lot of fun. It's been good. I know we recently got to know each other. It's been again, it's all about the relationships, man. And I'm grateful for the relationship. We're early on in that process, but you're a good dude. There's a lot of similarities. There's a core value alignment clearly. And I know that this is going to impact and help a lot of people and at least maybe have them think about things a little bit different, especially if they're in a tight spot and they're going through some challenging times. So stay positive, keep moving forward, surround yourselves with the right people, continue to plug into the Flip Empire Show here. And you guys got this. We gotta have the right mindset and just keep plugging along, man. That's all it is.
Amen. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, man. Thank you guys. And we will connect on the next one. Any questions you guys have, RJ and I will stay connected and we're happy to jump in there and answer them. So guys, we got another one of these coming up on Monday at 2:30. So I will send you some details and have an awesome, awesome day. Okay. We will talk soon. Take care, RJ.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.